So the high priestly services go on constantly in relation to my infirmities and weaknesses, and I don't have to go and ask him to do it.
This is a work that is constantly going on his part. It's when and if sin comes in that then his advocacy comes in, changes from the high priestly services to the advocacy services for us. You smiling?
You still run to him as a high priest because you run to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his service to me at that point in time switches in the course of an advocacy with the Father.
And he is faithful.
Yes.
I think that's what we're ultimately trying to point out. That he was faithful when he walked here below, and right now, in heaven above, he is faithful in this role.
But you also, I'm also seeing that when I said before, something for God, that in the maintenance of us in relation to our infirmities and weaknesses, that it keeps the service of God going on, and it does not impede the service of God as long as our infirmities do not lead to active sin. But we have the support of the high priest that maintains us, so there is something for God as a result.
But that's the second part of the book of Hebrews, when he is the minister of the sanctuary.
But it leads up to that.
Yes.
The point is, he is all of this all the time. Mm-hmm. And he knows best when to apply which one.
To man, in that we can always count on him, because I'm thinking about the faithfulness, which is the topic. But we can say that he is faithful to us, and that we can always go to him, as it says in verse 16 of chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's so qualified, as we've been discussing. And yet he's faithful so that we can go and we can always count on him. He's never going to turn us away and he's never going to let us down. And at the same time, he's faithful to God. I think the brethren are saying, to try to summarize it in my mind, is that God can count on him, as it were, to maintain us. So,
when Peter, or the Lord, met Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. Then he doesn't add, but if he does, I'm going to pray for you. No, he says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And as has been said, we fail in everything else but faith, and that because of his mighty intercession.
Just let's dwell just a little bit on what a happy thought verses 14 and 15 are. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Where is he? What a wonderful thought. He's not here. He's not in the midst of this fallen creation. But it says that he's passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Is there an effect of having such a high priest? Why, he says, let us hold fast our confession. And the wording here is really nice, isn't it? He tells us, we have not and high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Have you ever been to someone, or has someone ever tried to help you, and you knew right away they could not enter into what you were going through? They had never been in anything like that. They had never felt anything like that. And you know right away that it's almost a bit of a hopeless situation. But this one is exactly the opposite. Sin apart, he's been through everything that I can ever go through as a man here. I say sin apart. He can feel everything that I have ever felt. And he is my great high priest. What is he going to do? He's going to take me all the way home to glory. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It says, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and I see this careful guarding, yet without sin. Is there to be a response to that? What do we say to our young people What a wonderful thing to be a Christian. To have trusted Christ as your own Savior, and then to have one like this who is going to help you through. And to parents, it's difficult raising children in the world today. There's all kinds of problems that are associated with living in a world of sin. Here's the answer. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. What kind of grace do we need? We need grace to help, brethren. We need grace in this situation that I find myself in right now. Well, this is what he says. This is why I'm there. Grace to help in time of need.
If I might, I'd just like to add that as a believer, we're speaking about the wilderness. It's a time of testing. It's a time of testing for us as believers. We don't always pass the test. We sometimes fail the test the first time around. We may have to go through that exercise again. So we need to understand that, yes, in our weakness, we may fail the test, but the Lord is always there to help us through it. If we fail, we can confess it.
I wonder if we link this with what we had this morning. Because, and I say this carefully, and I appreciate, notwithstanding the distinctions we have clearly made with regarding to the testing the Lord went through, the manner and how he went through it as the dependent man is the manner to which we are to be here as dependent. And it is as we are dependent that we have him there supporting us. But when we lose our dependence on Christ and become independent men, which we heard earlier, failure comes in. He suffered being tempted. As we are dependent on Christ, trusting totally in him, surrendering ourselves, is this not where we then find that there is that which is foregone? And maybe others can develop, because is this not what we want to see? Not just the thought that this is all wonderful truth, but how are we going to get into the good of this? Don't we get into the good of this as we surrender ourselves, we become like he was, as dependent upon the resources of heaven, not on ourselves.
I would add to that dependence and obedience to the Word of God. And it is Satan who seeks to cause us to swerve from that pathway. Those are the temptations of the enemy. And we are very liable to fall to his subtle devices. And that is where we need, then, in recognizing that, where we can claim his support. Not that he stops at any time to pray for us, but we will not experience his help and his support if we're not casting ourselves upon him and with purpose of heart, like we've had of the Lord in Luke 4, that it is written. That remains. It is written when a test comes to us. But this is what the Word says. Well, yeah, but you know, it doesn't matter a little. This is just a little issue. That's not going to hurt anybody. Well, it is. It's going to hurt me most if I take that attitude, because that moment I've deviated from that path where I can claim his support and his help.